The Pop Culture Show is presented by Luna Nuda Prosecco. Cheers. Woo-hoo. With Luna Nuda. This is the Pop Culture Show. It's a deep dive into the latest celebrity news, music, TV, technology. We throw in a little bit of the observations around us in this crazy life. We're your hosts. I'm Barnes. That is Leslie. Hey, Leslie.
Hi.
Look, that's Cubby wearing a Pop Culture Show t-shirt.
Sweet.
Look at Hello, that. It was
Please,
free.
Yes. Rate, review, and subscribe our show. It's what keeps us going. Let's go. Today, our guest will be lead singer of the band Our Lady Peace, Rain Maida. Very distinctive voice in rock and roll. Very.
Can't wait to talk to him.
And do you have a clip?
I can give you a clip. Would you like a clip?
Mm-hmm.
How about...
I'd like to hear... Remind people about the group Our
Here's
Lady Peace.
Here's a little reminder.
For those that don't know.
One of my favorite songs of theirs. And I mean, Starseed for me was it.
Starseed was great.
Yeah.
I was so bummed I didn't get to see that tour. You know, COVID hit. They were doing a tour with Bush and Live. Like the ultimate for me.
That's an ultimate 90s get up. Wow. For sure.
Hey, don't forget, head to our Instagram for VIP access to exclusive video content. The only place to get video exclusives. And actually starting today, you can watch the entire Michael Damian interview on our Instagram. We are The Pop Culture Show on Instagram.
We're trying to get to 1,000 followers. Could you, even while you're listening, maybe help us just jump over at The Pop Culture Show and follow us on Instagram? We're so close. We're
Tell
almost
a friend.
There. We've kind of just not paid much attention to our Instagram, and we need to be, because it's a lot easier to get like these video exclusives on IGTV mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So please head over and follow us. We do appreciate it. We started something last week that I didn't realize would pick up so fast. We're asking people to leave a 5-star review on Apple, and we're going to pick a random one, and we're going to send a Pop Culture Show t-shirt, which Cubby is so fashionably wearing today.
Yeah. Did you give us a good review? Is that how you got that shirt?
Yeah.
I did. I was the one. And I have to say, this is a great quality shirt because you organized this whole thing, Barnes. And I was going to give you a kind of crap. Like maybe it was like a really
fruit
lame
of the loom,
shirt.
Bruh.
But I got to tell you, the artwork is nice. It feels like good quality. Like it can handle a few washes. And I'm very excited about this. It's
well,
nicely
your
done.
Your choice is you either get that or you haven't seen this yet. The Pop Culture Show coffee mug. So if we read
Whoa.
Your review over the air,
I
you
want
get
one of those.
Oh, Leslie wants a little something, something. So we let Leslie.
Yeah, it is.
Wait,
Christmas
did you
time.
Know we had coffee mugs, Cubby?
No, I did Shrag. Not actually. This pisses me off.
It's
a little
right
bit.
Here by my Luna Nuda display of fine wines.
It would have been cool if our names were on there, by the way. That was my only little like
bastard
okay. picky thing. Yeah.
Hey, I do have a review.
Yeah.
And so whoever this is, Leslie, that you have chosen randomly from those reviews, they're going to get one or the other, the t-shirt or the mug. Hit us. What you got? What's the review?
I do have one. I want to read it to you guys. This was actually really sweet. As a teen in the 90s, The Morning X was my introduction to morning radio shows. The voices of Barnes and Leslie took me back to some of the best times in my teens to mid-20s. I love Leslie's celebrity sleaze bits, and I love the guest spots each week. I wasn't familiar with Cubby previously, but I've got to say he is the perfect add to the Barnes and Fram duo. Cubby, I don't know what you think about that.
Well, thank you.
I look forward to the podcast weekly from tips on tech and behind-the-scenes adventures and Netflix binge-worthy recommendations. This is a fantastic show for anyone interested in the world of pop culture and keeping up with the times. My only request,
Uh-oh.
And I think it's a long shot, can we have more than one episode a week?
No.
No. You're lucky you're getting one a week.
You only knew how much right time went into that.
Sign Noel, 12345.
All right, Noel, send us an email, info@thepopcultureshow.com, and you'll get either the t-shirt or the mug. Thank you very much. Please leave your review on an Apple in the podcast area. 5 stars, please.
I do have a question. Do the most successful podcasts do more than once a week? Like who's the number one dude right now?
Joe Rogan.
Like, is Rogan doing like once a week or more than once a week?
I don't know. He does like a couple hours. Long time.
Right.
I know people do like some do once a month. So I was thinking once a week was a lot. So
that's a lot. It's a lot of work for not getting paid.
Hey, Barnes, can you get this on video?
Yeah, we are on video.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I want Leslie to read this because this was an old joke that
you know I can't deliver jokes.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Barnes must have told you I can't deliver jokes.
Have Leslie read this. Here we go. Leslie, ready? Here we go.
Alpha Kenny 1.
Read it.
I just said that.
Say
Alpha
it again.
Kenny 1. Is this something dirty?
Say it again.
Alpha Kenny 1. Am I saying something?
Yeah, we've heard that.
Am
about
I
you.
Saying something dirty? Oh, God. Here we go again. Here we go again.
Oh, this
I'm not
is,
saying it three times
you,
in a
you
row.
You don't hear it?
Oh, I hear it.
No, I don't.
You don't
no,
hear
I don't.
It.
Say it again.
Say it again.
Alpha Kenny 1. It's like, woo, woo.
Leslie, say it slower.
No, I am not saying it again.
No, no, say it faster.
Alpha Kenny 1. I still don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, Cubby is holding up a sticky note. It says Alpha, and then it says Kenny, and
yeah.
then 1.
Yeah. What is that?
Let's see. If I say it, Fram, maybe you can concentrate.
It.
Alpha Kenny 1.
Still.
Okay. If anybody wants to explain that, you can comment in this promo, because to this point, Leslie does not know what's happening. And this is the least of what's going to happen to her today, by the way. There's some stuff
am
to
I
come.
In trouble? Should I bring out the queef it?
Wow.
I want to hear Lanny's opinion. I want to hear your husband's opinion.
We could
opinion.
Go for an hour and she would still not know. Let's just leave it at that. Let's let people comment in this post. We'll stick
Help.
This as a post.
Help.
Wow. There is something I want to get to. I'm going to save it for the end of the How Was Your Week, because it is going to rip someone on this show.
And I seem to
I
be
have
the
audio,
brunt.
I have audio I, support. So I how was seem- your week, Cubby?
Oh, I know. I think I know yeah. what you might have.
It's
I'm
coming
not sure.
Here in just a
but
second.
My week was great. I got my first COVID test. Never
that
had a COVID test, so now I'm part
really?
Of the club because
yeah.
you two have
had
them.
That was your first one?
Yeah. First one. Our radio station is doing a broadcast in a couple
oh,
of days.
Yeah.
It's the first time we've been together as, you know, a group. And even though we're going to be distant and all that, we're going to be together. So we all had to have a test. And it wasn't as bad as I was told. The only
they
thing
vary,
is,
by the
did,
way.
Did it feel like a wire was
yeah,
going?
Yeah, they vary. They
What's
vary
that?
Depending on where you get them and how they do it.
And yeah. who does it? Right. It felt like a wire, though, more than it did a cotton swab. It felt like a
really?
Wire was in my nose.
Yeah,
you guys?
Some look like a
yeah.
like a mascara applicator.
Yeah.
Some of them are like more like a Q-tip. It just depends where you go.
I mean, I never had a bad experience. I know some people have.
But it was easy, and the only thing I just don't get about this whole thing is, all right, I'm negative, great. But if I go to the supermarket, there's a chance I can get it in
it's
an hour.
True.
I just don't. It's just you're only safe for like a
yeah,
day. I
it's
feel.
Just paperwork.
I don't know.
Is all it is. Totally.
Right. Right.
By the way, we mentioned last week that surprise. I wanted to follow up the Apple surprise. It was these new almost $600 headphones. These Apple AirPods Studio. It'll be the first Apple thing that I'm not buying. I just don't.
Why are they so expensive, do you think?
They said there's some new technology in it that this, that, blah, blah, blah. I can't do it. $600. I'm happy with my Sony, whatever their MX-103. And those
right.
were like $300.
Right.
I love those. On a plane, they're perfect. But that was the big announcement, along with Apple Fitness, which is they're integrating all these trainers. They're going after the Peloton group, like in your watch. You can mm-hmm. take different classes and stuff like that. So that was the big announcement. Have you got, speaking of, you know, if you're going to get $600 headphones, you're probably a big audiophile. Have you guys seen this? And this magazine, this new magazine is so big, you can't even fit it. It's called Marvin. Look how big this thing
wow.
is.
It looks like Interview magazine.
Yes, but better. The photography in this.
A lot of trees to make that
what's
magazine
the,
right
what's
there.
What's the
a lot
actual
of
subject
now.
Of the magazine,
Music.
Barnes?
I'm saying it goes with your $600 headphones.
Oh, okay.
You get your 50-pound magazine. I mean, this
That's
thing,
a lot.
Look at my head compared to, and I have a big head. Look at this thing. Youngblood.
Do you subscribe to
Youngblood.
That?
I picked
you,
it up. I heard about it and checked it out because I love music. There's a bunch of great interviews and amazing photography in it. It's not even bound.
It's amazing to me that would come out in this day and age when everything's so digital.
Yeah, well, this is like,
it's
going to
be super
cool,
expensive.
I don't know how much it is. It's.
Do you get magazines at home at all?
I used to. Now I read everything online. No. I love NME.
This just came
right.
out. This is the first one. So
wow.
Google it. Marvin is the name.
I will Google
Huge.
It, of course.
Come
you
on.
Can use it as a
if
weight.
You, if you Google Marvin, that magazine is not going to come up. There's going to be like a bunch of dudes
Google
named Marvin.
Google Marvin magazine.
Is that the first issue?
Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
That's the first issue. Yeah, I want to look into it because I love music magazines.
It'll be it's a coffee table book, big time. Okay, yeah. Let's get this over with. This is like ripping the Band-Aid off. So first, before we get into this, this is centering around someone on our show. I'm going to rewind to a quick little segment from last week's show.
What?
And then we have some investigative reporting that went on after. Why do you... Okay, Cubby right now, if you could see him, he looks very relaxed. Leslie looks very stressed
out. Because you two like to rip on me all the time.
Okay, let's...
No, Leslie, can I tell you something real quick? I didn't know if it was you or me. And now I'm realizing it's hitting me right now. It's going to be right. You. So I'm kind of like chilling
let's
out.
Let's rewind. This was last week's show.
I just don't care about what I drive. Doesn't matter to me. It's not important.
How come? You never been into cars?
No, never.
All right.
You just want to get to point A to point B.
I've had some cool cars, but you know.
What are you driving now again?
And now I have a TLX.
She doesn't know.
No, I have a Mazda now, but I used to have like one time I had an Audi, one time I had a Beamer. It just doesn't matter to me. Yeah.
Okay, so we're back live.
And I know where this is going.
Really, do you? So then I'm at a little bit of a gathering, not a super spreader, just a small gathering at someone's house, okay. 6 feet away from everybody. And my phone starts blowing up, and it's Lanny, Leslie's husband. And
thank
I think,
you.
Oh gosh, it's 5 o'clock on a Sunday. What in the world's wrong? Something must be wrong. Leslie's fallen and she can't get up. I don't know what something has happened, but I was like, I can't answer it in the middle of this party. So the best decision I ever made was letting it go to voicemail.
No,
then I can share it with everybody. So let's listen to the voicemail that hit my phone at 5:49 last Sunday. Have a listen.
Hey, brother. Leslie just told me a little story about the car what she drives. My wife doesn't know anything about all that. Her car is an Acura RDX, which she has driven one time since we bought it. And then I drive an Acura TLX, which she's never driven. Anyway,
I think I've made a mistake and told y'all I drove a Mazda.
Yeah, she drives an Acura. But she doesn't drive shit.
Hey.
But anyway, so I just thought I'd make sure you guys do that.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Okay. Well, how about the foresight? In the live piece last week, I said she doesn't know. And I was right.
I thought I drove a Mazda.
Leslie, the logo is on the steering wheel of the vehicle that you drive.
This is great.
It's COVID.
Leslie, this is why I love you.
Cubby,
oh my God,
can you understand we're in the middle of a pandemic and I'm on Zoom calls all day.
Oh,
I haven't driven.
We have a lot on our mind.
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
What? Once. I don't know. Lanny does not tell a lie. You have a car and you've driven.
Well, the one time you drove, you followed a car. You didn't even know who you were following.
Oh, my. So I thought I would share that with everybody so you can see.
You.
I do not make this stuff up.
Thanks, Barnes.
This stuff is real.
Lanny is banned from calling you anymore.
And then they started doing a show within the show. Did you hear him in the car? He's like, no. I know. I was just kidding.
Well, but I love how the call came 6 hours after we recorded the podcast. Like,
how
just
did that happen?
Guys. Like, you know what? We really should clarify.
How did that happen?
Because I did remember that I told you I drove a Mazda.
Oh, I didn't hear that moment. So you get in the car and you're like.
I was like, you know, I think I told Barnes I drove a Mazda when in fact I have an Acura this year during the pandemic.
Oh, that's great.
Deep breath.
Real life comedy gold.
Wanna get intimate? Subscribe to The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com and get VIP insider access to the show with bonus content, exclusive videos and freebies. Anything happening on the show will come to you first. Sign up free and join The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com.
Hey, once again, guys, big shout out to our brand new sponsor, Luna Nuda Prosecco. It's available to order online for same day delivery. In fact, if you go to lunanuda.com, you'll have more information. And there's also details about if you are areas of Georgia can now get Drizzly for delivery. You can use Drizzly for Luna
Drizzly's
Nuda
great.
Delivery. And I know, you love Drizzly,
yeah,
right,
Leslie? You can order like wine for it just comes that day. If I wanted to order a bottle of Luna Nuda and send it to Barnes, he would get it that day.
But you shouldn't do that because I have a wall of Luna Nuda behind me. You know how you know that Leslie doesn't record the show here? Because the bottles are still full. She knows a lot about Drizzly.
Right, exactly.
So
can I say one thing about Luna Nuda? Remember we drank it last week on the show? And I'm not just saying this because they're a sponsor. I legit took the rest of the bottle down and had my wife Coco taste it. And she went, this is good. And we finished the whole bottle that afternoon.
It's fantastic.
It's really delicious.
We've had listeners posting on Instagram their receipts from Publix. It's even more inexpensive than I thought. It was only $13.99 at Publix.
Really?
Yeah. People were posting it on our Instagram with their
very nice
with their little receipt with Luna Nuda Prosecco. Everyone loves it.
Don't get it twisted. If you think it's inexpensive, it must not be good.
Oh, it's delicious.
No, it's really good.
And as you saw, don't shake it either, because Cubby learned the hard way that if you move it around a lot, it's going to explode.
And I didn't shake it. But if you move a lot of things around, things explode.
Well, you can win a Pop Culture Show t-shirt like the one Cubby is wearing right now, our beautiful model, with our brand new Cheater Trivia brought to you by Luna Nuda Prosecco. You can follow us on Instagram at the Pop Culture Show and put that answer in this social post. Cheater Trivia, do not Google this.
Yeah, don't Google.
Don't cheat. Only put the answer if you really know it. We're going to trust you because we have a trusting audience.
Do not
Google. Nobody does
Google.
That. It's like when the restaurant says don't touch the plate when they put it in front of you. What do you do? You fucking touch
it. Don't Google it. Okay, here's the question this week for Cheater Trivia. What is it called when a bottle of champagne is opened with a sword? All right.
What?
We're going to choose a random winner and send you some swag, either the Pop Culture t-shirt or the Pop Culture coffee mug.
Which we don't have.
Yeah. So put that on our Instagram post. If you're looking at this on Facebook, pop over to Instagram and follow us, please, at the Pop Culture Show. And put your answer under this post. Again, the question, what is it called when a bottle of champagne is open with a sword? Good luck and cheers to Luna Nuda.
Oh, let's get to some celebrity sleaze. And who made 2020, the end of 2020, kind of a happy spot? Taylor Swift, again, drops a record this week. It's unbelievable. Evermore. And for her 31st birthday, she came out with a remix of the song Willow.
Here you go. I could feel you sneaking in. As if you were a mythical thing. Like you were a trophy or a champion ring. There was one prize I'd cheat to win. And she's out of control right now. She is like recording nonstop.
It's pretty incredible. You know, I don't know if you saw that she donated $13,000 to two moms that were struggling to pay their bills, which is really nice.
She does the right things.
She does a lot of that quietly. And that story did come out. So, you know, just in time for, again, people struggling around this time during COVID. It's pretty crazy, but the record is so good.
She looks like my daughter, her album cover. I swear, my daughter Maddie, with her hair braided, that's what the album cover is, her from behind. It looks just like her. It kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Now, there was another Taylor Swift story I wanted to talk to you guys about because, you know, she is re-recording all of her old songs. She did a parody commercial for Match.com written by her big buddy, Ryan Reynolds, and there's a little snippet of Love Story she recently recorded, and apparently the ad is where you're 2020 Satan with Satan on the dating site. I think it's a little homage to the person that she has, you know, this on and off fight with, Scooter Braun. So again, another Taylor Swift story that quietly, I don't know, Cubby, you guys had to have talked about that on your morning show about what she did with Match.
Yeah, no, we did. And just Taylor in general, though, I feel like anything Taylor does, it's just gold right now. And she's in a good spot.
The video was funny. I would play it, but it won't make sense just listening to it. It was actually really well done and pretty funny.
Did you guys see that crazy George Clooney story where apparently he was doing this interview where he admitted that all these years he uses a Flobee to cut his hair?
I saw that interview. It was on CBS Sunday Morning. And he still uses it and it works pretty good for him.
They had to love that. Flobee.
Yeah, it's legit a vacuum cleaner attachment, right? And it cuts your hair. And this was big in the 80s. Like, and I think that it's selling
talk
again.
Talk about old school. Yeah, he revived the Flobee. I don't even know if it's still in existence. There was also another crazy story about how he lost 28 pounds for a movie that he's filming called The Midnight Sky. Apparently, he lost so much weight, he had to go into the hospital for pancreatitis, which is kind of serious.
Ew, yes.
That's bizarre. Barnes, I thought about you when I saw this story. Michael Jordan's golf course has a beer delivery drone.
I saw that. And they're using the biggest possible drone you could use, which is funny. Cubby actually has been with me when I've launched that thing, the big one like that. It's like a freaking hovercraft, and it carries a box underneath it, and it just sets it down, and people grab their drinks. That was more of a gimmick. There's no way you could do that all the time.
I was going to ask if you were going to try that with your company.
Right.
It's too hard. I mean, it's just too, there's too many factors in it, and it's a lot of weight.
And what if the weather is nice, but it's really windy? Can't that affect
with those big ones,
the drone
yeah,
a lot?
A lot. Spill your beer. Who wants that? Don't spill your beer.
Nicolas Cage is at it again. I mean, starting January the 5th, will you be glued to Netflix for this? Over the course of 6 weeks, Nicolas Cage will explore the origins and pop culture usage, science, and the cultural impact of swear words.
This has to be fake. I saw the promo.
The history of swear words.
How are you going to make a whole series out of that? Fuck. I mean, the first one, this big long promo is pussy. Like, that's the first one they're doing. This has to be fake.
I don't think it's fake because I think there's other people that have signed on, other comedians that have signed on to do this with him.
Oh, so he's just doing the first word?
No, I think it says it features comedian Nikki Glaser. Sarah Silverman is on there. DeRay Davis, Jim Jefferies.
I don't understand.
You know, one thing about the word pussy, I just want to say, I feel like that word, people let that slide a bit because remember when The Sopranos was on fire? But people would say big pussy on the radio. Like that was
because of the character.
Reference.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people can get away with it.
Correct. But is it a dirty word?
You are reincarnating the freaking promo on Netflix, which Nick Cage does. What you're doing right now is exactly what he does. Have
you
seen it?
Did you see the preview? You must have seen a trailer for it.
I'm saying this.
I have
imagine
not.
We're making a series. We're making a series about what you just said. That is what the show is.
Wow, that's fucking cool. I'll watch it.
But is it cool?
I just think it's a joke.
I don't know.
I just think it's a joke.
It's not cool.
Can you guys interject while we're on the topic of the Netflix world? Do you have anything to watch or that you've seen that you recommend or not?
I got nothing, man. I just finished The Queen's Gambit.
That's your thing. For 4 weeks. Queen's Gambit? Is that the answer?
You have to see.
You making fun of me, Dick?
You have to watch Hillbilly Elegy.
I've heard that's good.
It's Glenn Close, slam dunk. She's going to get an Academy Award for this movie. She totally transforms herself. Have you seen it?
No.
Cubby, no? Okay, you guys have got to. Okay, watch it and we'll talk about it next week.
I didn't know it was out. I've got two for you. One's a Disney movie called Safety. Which definitely it's not just a kid's movie. It was very Remember the Titans-ish and actually kind of gave a shout out to them with that na-na-na-na. In the locker room, they did a scene that was kind of like that. It's really good. It's a true story about that kid from Clemson, Ray Ray, who was, I think he was a defensive back or something. And his brother was living with his mom and his mom went to rehab. They're from Atlanta. And the kid had nowhere to live. And so he took him on and snuck him into living with him at Clemson. It's a total feel good story.
Wow.
It's amazingly shot. Great soundtrack. Very much of a family movie. It's called Safety. It's on Disney Plus. The other one is I watched the Bee Gees documentary.
I'm going to watch that. It's on my list. I just came out.
HBO Max came out on Saturday. Phenomenal. And the stuff that you learn about the Bee Gees. Did you realize they're the third biggest selling act of all time behind the Beatles and Michael Jackson?
Not surprised.
I didn't know they were that high, but it didn't surprise me, actually. They had their moment.
It is an amazing documentary. Only one of them is alive, and that's Barry, who lives in Miami. But they have footage of the other two from interviews back in 1999. And did you know that Eric Clapton was the one who like basically nudged them to start singing in that falsetto voice? I mean, they had a very Beatles-esque career at the beginning. It was very melodic, and the harmonies, obviously, from the twin brothers, Robin and Morris. But it was Eric Clapton who, like, pushed them on this song. Like, got him to do that. And then the whole, it's amazing.
I'm dying to see this. I'm going to watch it. And, you know, Barry did a collaboration record here in Nashville that's coming out next year. And I'm hopeful to do some stuff with him.
Get him on, Leslie. He would be a phenomenal interview.
Well, I was going to see if we would come on and talk about this collab record, but of course now with the doc out as well.
Dude.
What were you going to say, Cubby?
Have you seen Tiger King?
dick.
You know what? No, here's all kidding aside, I'm not saying you guys don't have busy lives, but I feel like you guys have more time to watch things. I mean,
you have a baby and I don't have a baby. So I think, you know, usually at night, if I love watching movies and documentaries. So, okay, the assignment, because I will watch the Bee Gees doc, but you guys have to watch Hillbilly Elegy because you're just not going to believe Amy Adams and Glenn Close in this movie. True story.
Got it. Okay.
Movie.
All right.
Netflix. Okay. I didn't realize this, but you know, the story keeps getting deeper and deeper about Johnny Depp, but apparently now it's coming out that he had sex with some of his co-stars, including Angelina Jolie and Keira Knightley, supposedly.
Nice.
Did you see that?
No.
No, I didn't. This is why you do celebrity sleaze.
I mean, come on.
I haven't heard these yet.
Yeah, apparently it's coming out in the Hollywood Reporter. Chipotle has expanded their menu under the urging of the one and only Miley Cyrus. Social media, they created a 1,000-calorie veggie burrito with rice, black bean, fajita veggies, roasted chili corn salsa.
1,000 calories?
1,000-calorie veggie burrito. I'm like,
that's a wrecking ball to your stomach.
Hey.
Chipotle promised to create this dish if Miley commented on one of her company's TikTok videos. What is going on with celebrities and fast food restaurants? It's like,
I love Chipotle. I think they're hands down some of the best. Bowls.
What's your favorite? Maybe Barnes could get his own celebrity burrito.
Well, I'd Chipotle have to be a celebrity
hyped,
first.
too much hype on Chipotle.
I used to think that.
I like Moe's better than Chipotle.
Forever I was a Moe's guy, then I was a Willie's guy. I don't know if you have Willie's there, but now I end up at Chipotle if it's not Gusto where I really like, but it's a different kind of bowl.
You took me there, I think.
To Gusto? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I have one more for you though, because Oreo has unveiled a new Lady Gaga Chromatica cookie coming out in 2021. Do you see
that
story?
Mm-hmm,
the first ever celebrity Oreo features three different designs inspired by the album embossed on the wafer. So apparently it's now Lady Gaga and Oreo. Crazy. I wonder what she got.
Everyone has their side hustle.
Making Oreos.
Woohoo.
Making Oreos.
There's so much celebrity sleaze. I do want to talk to you about the top grossing Christmas movies of all time. Since, you know, if you're sitting around watching Christmas movies with the family. Number 10, The Santa Claus 2 with Tim Allen. Never saw it. Number 9, The Nutcracker and the Four Realms, Keira Knightley. Never saw it. Number 8, The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. I did see that one. Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah, that was funny.
The Holiday at number 7. Elf. Will Ferrell. Number 6, The Polar Express. Tom Hanks animated at 5. Number 4, A Christmas Carol. Jim Carrey. Number 3, Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Jim Carrey. Number 2, Home Alone. I mean, come on. How many times have we seen that? And then The Grinch animated. Number 1. 511.5 million worldwide.
Where's It's a Wonderful Life?
I know.
Is that of the last 5 years or something?
And by the way, how about A Christmas Story?
Or A Christmas Story, yeah. You'll shoot your eye out.
Says of all time.
Wow.
Of all time.
Right.
Now, I know that a lot of movie companies are saying, look, we're not going to have theatrical releases, and if we do, they're not going to be that big. Now, Warner Brothers is saying they're all coming out on HBO Max.
And artists
are
pissed.
That was a big story.
Yeah, people are mad about that.
Actors and artists are not happy about that. I'm happy about it because, you know, you can sit in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, HBO Max is happy about it.
I know. I like HBO Max.
So do I. Someone said they were the shittiest streamer, and I don't think so. I end up keeping it because they keep bringing programming that I want to keep watching. That Murder Beach thing, you still need to watch.
Yeah, that is on my list that you talked about.
So good.
Have you heard the latest about Joe Exotic? Now he's begging Kim Kardashian to help get him out.
Well, he better get his
pardoned.
Pardon before Trump's out of office or else he's screwed.
It's like, hello.
Yeah. Biden's not pulling his ass out.
Is that the latest thing now that you just go to Kim Kardashian?
I guess.
And I do love the fact that all these A-list actors are going to all these streaming services because now Julia Roberts is returning in an Apple TV limited series, which has got to be great.
With Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, your girl Reese.
You put my favorite and my least favorite in the same show.
Produced by Reese, who's become this amazing producer.
Yeah, that nets out to me not watching it.
And by the way, no Zooms for the Oscars. The Oscars are like, we're moving to April. We want to do something in person. I don't know how real that is going to be. But I'm just saying, they're moving to April.
Are they doing Golden Globes this year? That's always that's like the kickoff to awards.
Yeah, they're supposed to be February 28th.
Oh, February.
Oh, they moved that too. Okay.
Love the Golden Globes. Will Ferrell said that he turned down $29 million for an Elf sequel. Just didn't speak to him, I guess.
I bet that dude just goes nonstop. Have you ever met him?
No, but I like him a lot. Did you hear that Ellen got COVID?
Yeah.
I was sorry to hear that. And, you know, it's like, you know, she has this thing about real estate. I don't know if you saw, she paid $49 million for Dennis Miller's compound. $49 million.
Yeah, and what's his name? Seacrest is selling his old, that was her old, for what, $85 million?
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of California, people. That is way too expensive. I know you both don't watch The Crown, but Netflix was actually asked by the royal family to put a disclaimer to The Crown that, you know, it's not 100% factual. And Netflix, in their defense, said no.
I've been watching it. They're talking about Diana now.
Yes.
I don't watch it as a, like all the time, but I heard the rumors that Netflix is going to start doing some salacious stuff about Prince William.
Probably in the next series, because, you know, it's
freaking.
They're not very happy about this part of the installation, though, because it does talk about Diana and how she was mistreated. And they're saying it's not all factual. And so, but apparently, you know, the royal family is watching The Crown. It's got to be crazy that you're actually watching the story about your story. I don't know.
Pressure. I mean, that's nuts.
Barnes is super excited about some new music that came out from Gwen Stefani. Going old school, Gwen Stefani.
You know, listen to this. Just a quick clip. She's back to what she did, you know, when it was cool.
She's still beautiful, but she's had a lot of work done, too.
She's back to at least singing the way she was singing before. Like that vibe. Right. It's just a vibe.
Well, the fact that she's had a couple of number ones with Blake on the country chart is kind of crazy, but I think a lot of people are happy she's going back to the pop Gwen Stefani. This has been such a horrible year with, you know, losing a lot of icons. We lost in the country world Charlie Pride, who was such a pioneer, and from COVID complications.
There's some Charlie. And
let her know you think about her when you're gone.
Icon.
What a career he had. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but, you know, Alex Trebek has still been on TV because they had recorded, you know, a lot of shows before, you know, even after his death, had recorded a bunch of shows. And there was a final Thanksgiving message that he gave that was just so haunting. I think we have a clip of this.
Especially now that he's gone. Here, have a listen.
Happy Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. You know, in spite of what America and the rest of the world is experiencing right now, there are many reasons to be thankful. There are more and more people extending helpful hands to do a kindness to their neighbors, and that's a good thing. Keep the faith. We're going to get through all of this, and we will be a better society because of it.
Spooky. Just makes you feel, wow, like this guy is still speaking the good and he's gone.
Keep the faith.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rain Maida is coming up next. I forgot to mention at the top of the show, Cubby, we called out Leslie about bringing forth a number one artist. And I will tell you that next week she has done that. And not only that, she's taken a complete crap on us, a multi-number one artist next week.
She really came through, Leslie.
You put the pressure on me. You guys like
I love you delivered.
Down. You, it's a lot of pressure.
You may not know what car you drive, but you still have a nice Rolodex and you can pull in some guests. So don't miss our show next week. We have a really, I mean, not only does she get a multiple number one, we're talking from my top five. So I'm excited. I am so excited.
A Barnes top fiver.
Yep. So be sure and listen next week.
Get exclusive video content when you follow The Pop Culture Show on Instagram. Unlock full video interviews and video bits you can't get anywhere else. Instagram.com/The Pop Culture Show.
Our next guest, I have to say, back in the 90s and 2000s, when this would come on in the 99X control room, I would have it so loud that the sales department would come in and say, shut the f*** up.
True.
Every single time. And I'm talking about one of my favorite bands, and I think I speak for Leslie Frahm as well.
Yes.
I'll let you listen to them and you'll see who it is. That is the unmistakable voice of Rain Maida, lead singer for Our Lady Peace. Hey, Rain.
Hey. Good to be with
you
guys.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Really good.
It's good to see you. It's been a little while.
It's been forever.
Now, where are you right now?
I'm in LA. I'm in lockdown.
Yeah, serious out there, yeah.
Is it a good lockdown, though? Has it been, have you found any creative flow? Because a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people I talk to are like, you know what? It's actually been like an interesting thing because I've thrived in a few areas that I may not have discovered before.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a long kind of journey, right? This whole thing. So I've had moments. At the beginning, I felt really creative and did a lot of writing, recording in my studio here. And then somewhere in the middle of the summer, like when this thing looked like it's not going to end, I hit a dark patch.
Yeah. I think we all did.
Yeah. So it's kind of like now, I think maybe with the vaccines, the election, like things are feeling positive again. And also, you know, we were making a record. We're making this new LP record with Dave Siddick, who lives here in Glendale. But it kind of like stopped because of COVID, because we stopped going over to the studio. And so even in the sense of like, well, are we going to put this record out during this pandemic? Probably not. So it kind of like deflated everything creatively. But now it's back full on and it's all good.
That's actually exciting news for Our Lady Peace fans, because were you working on this record even last year or just this year?
We started and then we did that tour with Bush and Live, and that kind of like put a halt to it. And then right after that, the plan was to like finish it. But, like I said, working with Dave has been, I mean, I'm such a huge TV and the Radio fan. I'm a big Dave Siddick fan. And then getting to actually work with him on songs, and actually, I mean, he's just if there was a picture for mad genius, it's Dave.
It's so funny that you talked about that tour with Bush and Live, because I was so looking forward to seeing that tour. Like, arguably, Barnes, right? Three of our top five bands at 99X.
Absolutely.
What dream tour, and love those guys in Live. So do you think that'll ever go back on the road?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely places we could go play again. I'm not sure. I mean, it's the whole touring thing is still kind of like pretty up in the air, but I would like that. Yeah, I think we ended up doing almost 40 shows with them, and it was a blast. I think like kind of what you said, like people left feeling like, wow, I really got my money's worth and had a great night.
So Our Lady Peace has been going at it now, what, 25 years? Has it been that long?
Is it maybe?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like to admit that, but maybe.
No, but think about that, because I'm a big fan of your music, and to me, the late 90s seem like last week, and I can't believe how time is flying. Does it ever hit you how long you guys have been going at it?
Nah, I mean, not really. I think there was a little bit. It's funny, because Bush had a new record out when we were playing. We were playing a new song, probably what's going to be the first single from our new album, Live. So it felt very relevant, but there was this thing of like, oh man, like what an amazing time that was, you know, kind of late 90s when all that music was happening. So it's, I tend not to look back a lot, but I do appreciate it for sure.
You know how a band's first song is like the thing that opens you up to a sound or to a signature feeling. And I'll never forget hearing Starseed.
Yeah.
And just like going, oh my God, like even now, like it takes me right back to it. I turn it up as loud as I can. And it's just like the most intricate kick-ass song. I know that was so long ago, but it's kind of timeless.
Yeah.
I mean, that song sounds current.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like the ones that are good, and you know, we kind of dictate by what we play live. Like it's because they do feel still relevant. I think there are some songs that we didn't play a lot and we'll never play because they just don't date well, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it all. You know, I listen to some Dylan stuff he did in the 80s and I can't listen to that.
Don't get mad at me, but a little bird flew into my room and gave me what is supposed to be the new Our Lady Peace.
What?
Wow.
And I thought I would play
it. Have I even heard it?
I just have a... you probably haven't even heard it yet. And I want you to verify, is this or is this not new Our Lady Peace? I think it sounds very different. It sounds very good. It's very different. Here's about a 40-second clip. You tell me. Is that it?
That's it, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Sounds great, man.
Wow.
So that's the first time that's been heard anywhere?
Anywhere. And, like, it literally just got mastered on Monday.
Wow. I know people. And that is a really interesting sound. It seems like a pretty big shift.
Yeah, the record, I mean, I mean, Dave obviously added a lot to this, but I think overall the record is very, a lot of it's based off rhythms. So, you know, going back to like Talking Heads and bands that were really forefront on that, I think that was a bit of our blueprint. And I remember we played that song on that Bush Live tour in Boston. It was like this beautiful evening. Sun was setting, and there was, you know, a lot of people were there early for us, and it was this open amphitheater, and we played like 3 or 4 or 5 songs, and then I was like, yeah, it was the first time we tried it, and we put it in the set, and I talked a little bit of, I said, hey, this, you know, it's a new song, we just recorded it called Stop Making Stupid People Famous, and I got applause from the title, so I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, and then we started the song, and literally from that beat, people like stood up, and it's one of those moments musically that, you know, you just remember, and it's like, okay, that's why I actually got into music. Like when I would hear a song and it would stop you in your tracks, you know?
Cool.
And so it felt like it kind of happened that night, which was really cool.
Yeah.
It does have a Talking Heads vibe. I love that.
Totally does.
Well, Rain, when you guys first started, I mean, you know, even in the early 90s, there wasn't Twitter or Instagram or any of that stuff. Do you feel like social media has really helped you guys gain a new audience?
I think it helps you connect. You can definitely grow an audience there. I think that's probably a little more challenging. But I think the ability, even after that song, it was like, you know, we had people talking to themselves on socials through us and saying, hey, wait till you hear this new LP song you just heard in Boston. So, you know, the next night we're Jones Beach or whatever, and you're starting to see this kind of like little groundswell within your own fan base, which I really dig, because that's as authentic as it gets, right? Those are just fans talking about bands and music they love, and it's pretty cool to interject sometimes or just, you know, be a voyeur and watch it.
What's this new platform I was reading about, but I don't know much about it? You're launching a platform called Sing. What is that?
Yeah. So Sing is I started working with this blockchain company out of Seattle about 4 months ago.
What does that mean, blockchain? For those that have no idea what you're saying, like me.
So blockchain is an open source, like, you know, it's basically makes whatever you put into the blockchain immutable and safe. It protects it basically because it's open source. Everyone can see it. I mean, crypto is based on blockchain if you have Bitcoin. But so what this does for creators, I think the value is just like, you know, if I have a voice note or I'm working on tracks with guys in the band or I'm writing with someone else and you're sharing stuff, text or email or files and Dropbox, this is the new place to do it. And so anything you put into our digital wallet, which is dope, it's a really, I mean, Dropbox sucks. It's boring. It looks very blue and files and looks like a lawyer should use it. It's not for artists. This thing is for artists and creators. So you can kind of create your own little projects and cards and add artwork. And so if I were to share you in that Stop Making Stupid Famous song, you'd see the artwork on it, and it's in the blockchain. So if someone were to go rip that song off because you played it on the radio when you weren't supposed to, Steve, I'm kidding. It would be one of those things where it was already in the blockchain. And in a court of law, you can go back and you can see all the data. Like you, I would be able to know that I sent it to you and now you've sent it to someone else, and where, so you get the historical data, which
that's
is
brilliant.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's like,
did you come up with that?
It's like tracking. Yeah.
I mean, that's what blockchain does, right? So we just tailor this to creators, because I think we all know, like, sometimes you copyright a song or you have to send it to your publishing company, but I've had it happen. My wife just had it happen where it's like, oh, you know what? She was writing for La La Land. And this was like 3 or 4 years ago. She wrote this great song for End Title, I think. And it didn't get used, but the song ended up making its way to different producers, artists. And then we're sitting here during COVID in some big insurance company as some song. And I'm like, my kids were like, "Mom, man, that sounds like the chorus from that song." And it was like the two, whoa, like the first three lyrics and then the whole melody. Wow. And we're like, oh, but so now, because Sing wasn't available yet, it's like she's got to go through emails, texts, ex-managers, figure out, like, who did you send this to? Because they got ripped off, and now I got to track it and figure out how to, like, you know, go get it. So once, you know, once we launch Sing, you're just going to, I think every creator is just going to start using and adopting it. Put their stuff in there. That's the way you share it. And it, just by virtue of having it in the wallet, it's on the blockchain, and it's like you can always go back to it. And you can see, too. You can flip the card and just see where it was shared to. So
I remember back in the day, remember the CDs would have this impression in it, or not a visual impression, but they would have to put like some kind of code in the CDs if we had a album really early. Do you remember that, guys? And if you played it if you played it on the radio, you would be, you know, busted. This is kind of like the modern way of really just keeping track of everything.
Yeah. And just to, like I said, I mean, there's a bunch of cool things about it. So the historical data and having it exists forever, right? So like as a creator, any songs I put in down, even if they're not through a record label or ever released, my kids will have those. They'll be on the blockchain and they can access them whenever and do whatever they want with it, you know?
I wanted to ask you about Moon versus Sun, the documentary. And are there any plans for that to be in any wider release in the U.S.?
Yeah, we've been, I think COVID kind of messed it up for us, because we were about to do a deal and put it out. And then it just felt like, okay, we can't get out there and really promote it. So we put the brakes on it, but that's happening now.
It seems like everyone needs content so badly that it might be.
But tell everybody what it is, because it's a very cool project you did with your wife.
Yeah, it's this. We went and made it. We never made a record together. We've written and written for other people together, but never like for ourselves. So we finally did that. But we felt like, okay, this is kind of a cool thing. We've been together for a while and never actually written together for us. So let's film it. We tried to do it here at our house, and just with like dogs and phone calls and Zooms and kids and stuff, it was impossible. So we said, we got to get out of here. So we took the film crew. We went to this little French island called St. Pierre, and went there for like 2.5 weeks, and it was winter and it was hell, but we wrote all this great music, came back and recorded it at Shangri-La at Rick Rubin's place, and kind of documented it all. But the thing was, when we started editing, it's like, you know, we've been together for a while. We're pretty stubborn people. And there was a lot of like emotional relationship stuff that came up. And if you started to take that stuff out of the doc, it felt like, oh, these guys are just brilliant. They just come up with these great songs. And that's not true. So we decided to keep it in. And it just shows, it's like we had a really tough morning or something, and there was an argument, but then the song spanned out of something that someone said. And so it just connects all the dots, and it's just real. And but people, we released in Canada. The reaction was pretty bananas. So I can't wait to get out of here.
You mentioned about writing for other artists. We do have a 6 degree of separation situation here, Leslie, because Cubby, weren't you in a Kelly Clarkson video?
Oh, yeah.
Rain, didn't you write some for Kelly Clarkson?
Yeah, she was, what did we write? Walk Away.
That's all.
That's it.
That's the video I'm in, by the way.
He's in that video.
Are you really?
Not visually. Kelly asked me to be the DJ in the background at the very beginning of the video. So she's waking up to a radio guy, and I'm the guy. Good morning out there in Radio Land. Today we have a very special guest live in our studio, here to perform her new hit single, Walk Away, Kelly Clarkson. You've got your mother. I was cut out when it played on VH1 and MTV. But yeah, it was cool.
How amazing is that? I mean, no one would ever guess that Rain Maida wrote for Kelly Clarkson, and I mean some other, like, what, David Cook? Who are some of the other people you have songs?
I got sucked into all that stuff because my wife's a brilliant writer, and she was writing with, you know, we had like Avril live at our house for 6 months in Malibu, and Kelly came over, and all these other, Carrie and Underwood and all these people, and I was just hanging around, and Chantel would be like, hey, can you finish this sentence? Record this or something. Yeah. And so, you know, I think the thing was, they were all, most of those people were just really good people. And so, you know, I'd get into the session and then we just continue and write another song and then write another one.
That's
so
killer.
Wow.
Pretty organic. But,
you know, we supported Chantel at 99X. She's got such a gorgeous voice. And
I remember that.
Such a great vibe. Is it hard for you guys working together and touring together? Because, you know, you have to kind of separate the personal life from the professional life. Was that difficult?
Yeah, I think that's what the film, like the film's called I'm Going to Break Your Heart. And it's not, it's more about like committing. So, because if you, I mean, the concept behind the title was more about, at some point, if you're committed, someone's going to die first and break the other's heart. So it's not like this dark thing, but it's about communication tools. Like, we see someone that helps us with that. Cause I think as artists and as partners, as parents, like we just, you know, that stuff, I don't know, maybe it comes natural for other people, but it's something we got to work at. So I love it. And on a collaborative level, like having that better skill set, I think even with OLP, like the way this record was written, it was a real struggle, right? With COVID, people sending a track to Duncan in Toronto to be like, hey man, you put bass on there, not being able to be there with them and then getting it back and that whole dynamic. I think just being better communicators has helped for sure. It's tough just to stay together.
Yeah. What are your plans for Christmas coming up here? New Year's? You got any plans?
No.
Well,
we're locked down, man. I'm so.
Have you seen any kind of? I mean, I know that, you know, it's been hard for you as a creator in the lockdown. Has there been any silver lining for you at all? Because a lot of people are saying, you know, they're spending more time with their family,
right.
And they're very present.
So I have a 16-year-old. So I have three boys, and my 16-year-old, they're all kind of into music. But my 16-year-old, he's a huge baller. So he plays like high level basketball, but that slowed down obviously. And he's always said, "Hey, Rain," or "Hey, Dad, sorry, I got a song. You know, you want to hear?" I'm like, "What do you mean you got a song?" And he would, over the last couple of years, he'd show me little things and be like, "That's kind of cool." And then with COVID at the beginning, he was like, I have these two ideas. And I went into the live room and he played them on piano and sang. And I was like, whose are those? And he goes, I wrote this. I was like, okay, seriously, dude, like whose ideas are these? And so they're his. And like, he was able to kind of just tap into that. Like he had time, right? So Chantel and I would be like, where's Rowan? And all of a sudden he's in the live room, the door closed. And he was in there for like 3 hours playing piano writing. So we made a record. And it's the first time I've seen like his, like, so he'll be listening to like, I mean, Frank Ocean into a Sinatra song, into a Bowie song. And now I get it. Like, they just don't have any rules. They don't have to like connect with one type. Like, you know, when we grew up, it was like, well, I love Joy Division and U2 and REM. And that's me. And like everyone else F off. Right. Or right. I like metal, and you knew the kids that liked the metal and Guns N' Roses and Def Leppard. It was like, okay, maybe we can talk, but we're really in our own groups. These kids now, man, like they internalize it all so well. So we started just making this record, and it's some of the favorite music I've ever worked on in my life. And it's my kid, which is why.
How cool is that?
That's incredible. Is it coming out? Is it out?
It is. I mean, we're trying to figure out. We have like 8 songs done, and it's just a new world. He's like, he'll go on TikTok and just play something. I'm like, okay, but don't play that song. I don't know if you should do that yet. But they don't care, you know. So we're trying to figure it out. But it's wild. But I will say, when you talk about silver linings, Leslie, like, I don't know if he would have got here if it wasn't for COVID. I think he would have been like, you know, we were always traveling for basketball, and it took up so much bandwidth. So it's really, it gave him a chance to like connect with his musical side in a way that might not happen for a while.
I can't wait to hear that. And you mentioned TikTok. Are you? Is Rain Maida on TikTok?
I am not, man.
I watch that shit for hours.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, one video and then boom, you're for an hour, you're scrolling. Yeah, it's crazy.
Too many people copy, like they all copy each other though. Some of that dun, dun 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 dun.
Right.
Like all these same things come up. That's kind of frustrating, but there are some funny things on there.
Yeah.
People spend a lot of time. If they'd spend more time like helping people, they'd probably be, you know,
I mean, I get those watching cat videos. Yeah, I get those screen time notifications every week, and it's like you've been on 30 hours is whatever. I'm like, oh man, I gotta cut something out. So TikTok's gone.
Have your kids turned you on to any new artists?
Every day. It's crazy. Crazy.
What are you into?
Actually, my kid turned me on to Billie Eilish before. When she had like 20,000 Instagram people, fans on there. I was like, wow, she's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just slowly. But who was the latest one? I can't even think. There's so many. But I love having them kind of be the new jukebox in the house. And when we get in the car, I don't even try. I just let their iPhones hook up, and I'm just like, let's hear it.
What do you drive? What is Rain made of drive?
We drive different things. Mostly I drive a Leaf, to be honest.
A Leaf?
You know, a Leaf. Yeah, it's electric.
We're big electric people. Cubby and I are both Tesla people.
Yep.
Fram.
Barnes was trying to get another Tesla plug-in because it plugs it every week, you know.
But a Leaf?
A Leaf.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of before the Tesla, right? It came out.
Yeah, I know.
Six or 7 years. It's ugly, which I love.
You just destroyed the rock image, just went like down the toilet right there.
I know. I don't drive it, but I ride my one wheel a lot, which is pretty dope.
Okay.
Like I don't know if you guys have seen those things. Those like electric snowboards, they're sick.
And do you have any businesses besides this whole sing thing that you're working on? Do you have any businesses over the years that you've had that just are kind of like silent? I mean, do you own a pizza chain or something?
No, I don't. I love pizza.
Is there anything you've invested in that hit?
Yeah, myself, you know, but more I talk about like, I love tech. Like I've been in tech for the last 10 years and there's like huge parallels between, you know, what it like the creative ability to look at problems on the tech side the way an artist does and like more constructivist thinking and reptilian brain and all that kind of shit. And I love, you know, we've probably built 6 or 7 platforms, not all in music. You know, we have there's a company that we're part of in Alberta, like Calgary and Edmonton, that's basically on-demand daycare and tutoring, you know, so pretty like boring stuff like that. To sing is like, I think, has an ability to change, you know, the creator world in a good way. We built up when COVID hit, I built this live streaming platform called Juju Live, which was, you know, basically just for artists to get on there and find ways to make money, you know, live streaming stuff. And now there's a million of them, but we did it really early. And so I just love the idea. It's like kind of like a song or album. You have an idea, you build it. We got a good team. So we build something quickly and see how it does. And if it doesn't do well, you start writing again or developing again.
Dude, you're Silicon Man. Look at you. Who knew? You were just like Mr. Tech. I love that.
I love the fluidity of that space. It's a lot like music. If it's not working, it's like, you know what? Let's rewrite this chorus.
And but you seem to do so many different. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, I went to lunch with you in Santa Monica, and you were talking about a documentary you were making. Was that about veterans or about what was that about?
Yeah, we had this project called Harmony House. But the idea was based around this app that we're still developing. So it's all about. We met with this music therapist in Nashville. She was from Vanderbilt, and she told us a story about a vet, PTSD in the hospital, heart rate at like 180, and so she's a music therapist, was really struggling. So she brought a acoustic guitar and start playing like, you know, just really like punk chords really, really quickly. And then slowly just start slowing it down. And you can see his heart rate coming down. And so I took a lot of the science and the data with the music therapy kind of field. And we're still building this app, which basically it's just to do that, you know, through like understanding isochronic tones, like the way music can affect you, like physically through waveforms, help people to basically develop this customized music and then create some sort of game around it. I shouldn't be giving this idea away, but create a game around it where basically, you know, you can just put on this app and see your heart rate go down through music that you like instead of some spa music, you know, which is not my thing.
I love that.
Well, look on your screen. Idea. You'll see a television executive right there when you get that documentary. You should be dropping that in that inbox, Leslie Fram.
Have you or the band done any virtual shows?
We did. We did one. And there was it was terrible because there was rolling blackouts in LA.
Oh God.
So the whole internet went down and we ended up putting it up anyway. Like we recorded and put up live. But I like it. I think what the thing with Juju Live, what we tried to do was like, let's not do big production. Let's like, if we're going to be at home, like play a few songs from your bed, you know, like let's do something that fans don't get to see. But I found early on, like artists really want to like do it up. So it was a bit of a struggle to kind of get, you know, on screen what my vision of it was. But we did that. We played like half of Spiritual Machines just acoustically. And I thought it was amazing. I loved it.
And then you realized only you guys heard it. The internet's down.
It was a bummer, man. And people were pissed. That's the other thing.
Like, that was a great, wow, we just heard that. Good on you.
I just know a lot of bands are doing that, you know, just so that they can help pay for their crew and everything else. It seems to be working for a lot of people.
Yeah. There's a bunch of platforms that do it and monetizing. Yeah. Our thing with Juju was keeping really cheap, but I think it'll find a way to kind of sustain even when people are touring again, because it's just, you know, it's just another way to kind of do something for your fans.
Do you and the family have any holiday traditions, or is it just we're locked in because of COVID?
We usually try to go away, but we're locked in, and so I don't know. I don't know. We're
going
to
invent another software platform.
yeah. I mean, I think this will be regardless of the holidays. Because every day is a holiday, I think it'll feel like it's going to be positive. I've seen even though LA is locked down, there's just a different energy because of. I think we see that light at the end of the tunnel. So I feel. Super creative. I'm back to like working like 18 hours in the studio and, you know, getting to ready, launch Sing. And I feel like I'm on that high again, which is good.
Sounds like a big 2021 coming for you, I think.
No kidding.
New album? Yeah. That's incredible. You have to let us know when it's releasing so we can let everybody know on this show.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are going to be hopefully pleasantly surprised. It sounds so fresh. I'm so psyched about the music on this record.
Well, you want to drop any TV referrals on us? That's the new thing, you know, anything on Netflix or HBO or something you're watching that we should watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I watched that. I almost jumped off my roof and killed myself last night. It was the most depressing movie in the world.
So you're going to recommend
it? It was one of those films that was so dark. It was a British film.
You said it right there, a British film. So it has to be dark.
And it's all about like the gig economy. It's like the small family outside of London, like not in Manchester. And he's a driver for delivering packages. I guess their version of UPS or something, man.
See, these guys get mad at me when I say that. I'm like, this murder, it happened at a beach. And I'm telling you, it was on HBO.
And then Cubby gets on Google and figures
I'll
it out.
I'll figure it out for you. Yeah. I'm the fact checker here.
Are you watching any Netflix series or anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did like the Queen's Gambit. I did, I like all that stuff. I think it's good.
Can you tell me why? Because we had this conversation last week on our last show. I watched it too. I don't know why the hell I did, but and why so many people are drawn to it.
It's
what
so great.
Is it like that drew you in?
I enjoyed it.
I think it's good, right? I don't know if like changed my life, but I try to think if we were doing stuff on the road, would I love it as much? Like, do you kind of set the bar lower? I love the cinematography. I like that it was different. It was about chess.
Gorgeous.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't kill me. It's good. There's a lot of good out there.
The scoring was fantastic. Cinematography,
was
the acting.
Yep.
Acting, but for me, like, great. I just kept going, why am I watching this? Besides all those things were keeping me watching.
And we loved The Undoing.
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen it. Everyone's talking about The Undoing, and they were talking about the finale and if they were happy with it or not. And...
Yeah, can we talk about what's going on with Nicole Kidman's face in that, though? Like, I couldn't stop. That was weird, man.
There are some, let's say, enhancements.
Why?
I don't know, but she seems
gorgeous.
To do a lot of it.
I know.
It took me out of it. Every time they caught her in the wrong angle, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't care who. Who killed that girl?
Well, Rain, thank you very much for checking in with us. It's been a while. It's great to see you and hear you. And who knew you had your hands in so many things? That's incredible.
Yeah, let's with this record's out, let's do it again.
We would love to.
Well, and let's have you on here. Play. When the new record comes on.
Oh, sure.
Come on and do a few songs. I think that'd be incredible.
I'd love that.
We would love that.
Always appreciate you guys. And we will make sure you guys get it first. Honestly.
Awesome. Thank you. Rain made of Marlady Peace.
Thinking why, yeah, Superman said, yeah.
Hey, the Pop Culture Show was presented by Luna Nuda Prosecco. Cheers with Luna Nuda.